Welcome everybody to Be the Light. I am your host, Zakiya Robinson, and in today's show, I have Bria Isaac, and we're going to share our personal experiences on how we heard from God. We're also going to help you to identify if you're hearing from God, the enemy, or your own thoughts. So let's tune in, because this is a show you don't want to miss. Welcome everybody to Be the Light. Guess what? We have a new podcast and you're on the very first show, and I am with Bria Isaac. How are you today?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I am good. And so this podcast, I used to do interviews where people talk about their journey, people kind of talk about their expertise and different things that they have experienced along the way of coming to Christ. And God was telling me, he was like, it's time to get back, start interviewing people. And I'm like, okay, you know how we, dragging our, left
yeah,
foot.
Girl. Yeah,
girl. Yeah. I'm like, okay, God, I'm gonna do this. And as I was, just praying to God and just asking him what was the topic that he wanted me to start with, you have came to my mind, and he said how to hear God's voice. And I was like, what, that's a good question, because I remember there was a time where I wanted to hear God's voice. And I remember my first experience of hearing God's voice, which we will talk about that later. And it's a lot of people, both of us do inner healing and coaching and mentorship. And a lot of people say, how do you hear God's voice? Yeah. That's not the first question. And we want to shed the light on how to hear God, how to make sure you're not hearing a counterfeit person, okay, such as the devils and demons. And this is what this topic is going to be about. First, we're going to pray in so that your eyes could be open, your heart could be ready to receive. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now, Father, for today. We thank you, Lord, for this interview, this show, Lord God. This is your platform. And we just ask, God, that the viewers, the listeners, Lord God, that they would get out of this what it is that they need. Holy Spirit, uses as you see fit. We bring ourselves to the lowest capacity, Lord God. So Holy Spirit, that you can rise on the inside of us, give us illustrations, parables, whatever it is that you see fit for today's show. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And all right. So Bria, I want you to just kind of talk to us a little bit. Just give a quick background about yourself so they at least know who's before.
Okay. So first of all, thank you for having me. So as you guys know, after that amazing introduction, my name is Bria Isaac. I am a minister that does inner healing and deliverance. When I first came to Christ, I was first of all, this was 2023, okay? I was very desperate. I'll just be honest. I was desperate. I was turning 30, and I realized that everything that I was taught, everything that I knew, that it was a lie. And one of the things that, as you know, that the Lord will do when he first comes to you, or when you first come to him, is he will strip you. Now, I don't know how he's going to choose to strip you, but the way that he stripped me was I created this false life, and he stripped that false life. So I originally, thought I was going crazy, but it turns out I was not going crazy. It was the Lord telling me that he wanted me to stop lying to myself. I grew up in a very abusive household, and I grew up with a lot of gaslighting in the household, and a lot of gaslighting once I became an adult. So for about 10 years, I allowed my parents to gaslight me that the abuse never happened. And I believed it. I believed it didn't happen. And the way that God woke me up was by telling me every single day for about a good 2 months, your life is a lie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was the Lord at first. I was like, why do I keep hearing that? So it drove me into therapy. And I originally went to therapy to kind of suppress that voice. Now that I'm thinking about it, wow. I went to therapy to suppress that voice. And I wanted to be able to go back to the facade I had with my parents, because I felt like that was keeping the peace. But then, I wound up getting two therapists. They both were like, you still talk to your parents? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why? And I'm like, so, after they said, why you talk to them? I'm like, I need to get a new therapist. You ain't going to tell me to stop talking. You are not going to separate me from my toxic family. Basically, that's how I was. So one day you know, I know you're going to talk about the first time you really knew it was him. But when I really knew it was him, it was one day I was on my bed and I was in my apartment by myself. And I heard that same voice that was telling me your life is a lie. I heard it say, which now I know was the Holy Spirit, but I heard it say, I heard him say, do you have unconditional love? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I got, I'm thinking in my head. I'm like, I got unconditional love. And I heard the voice say again, who loves you unconditionally? And I'm like, you know, my family, my parents, you know, my family loves me. And I start listing off things that they did for me. Mm-hmm. And he started saying why they did it. Wow. So as you know, if somebody does something for you because you did something, that's not unconditional. That means it came with a condition. Yeah. So I got kind of like backed into a corner because every single thing I said they did, he said, nope, that was done because you did this. Try again. And at this point, something clicked and I knew it was the Lord. Mm-hmm. I knew it had to be the Lord. And I said, I surrender, I give up. And I started just, first I heard him say, aren't you tired? And when he said, aren't you tired? I knew it was the Lord because I was like, who would be asking me, am I tired?
Right. You know, like asking myself that.
Right. I'm not asking myself, am I tired? I might've asked myself, did I have unconditional love? But I was like, wait a minute. Okay. Now we're asking, there's too many questions now. So when he said, aren't you tired? I broke down. Mm-hmm. I broke down. And I was like, because I had been performing from 6 years old to 29.
Wow.
So I was tired.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm so tired. And I started talking back to him. And I said, I know it's you. And I said, I don't know what you want, but I'll do whatever you want. I give up, I surrender, but you have to fill this void. I said, I can't live my life not being loved. And I didn't hear him say anything else that night. I fell asleep and I do still believe that he put a spirit of sleep on me because that was the best sleep I have ever got in my entire life. Okay. So I slept like a baby and the next morning I woke up. And I heard, good morning, Bria. Mm. And I was like, I'm tripping. So I went to the bathroom. I'm brushing my teeth. I heard again, good morning, Bria. I said, no, I was hearing voices last night. I'm hearing voices this morning. I need to go back to therapy. I'm really thinking I need to go back to therapy. And then I heard, why don't you just say it back? And I was like, good morning. I was like, is that you? And I was like, is that you, Lord? Is that you? And he was like, yes. And I was like, this ain't the Lord. I'm like, prove it's the Lord. And then he just repeated what we talked about the night before. Mm. And I said, it's really you. Like he said, yes, Bri, it's me. Then he started talking about things that happened that I forgot about as a child. Mm. So one of the things that he brought up was, when I was about 6 years old, I had an encounter with angels and it was pitch black. I was supposed to be asleep and there was an arc of angels around my bed, like from there to from one side to the other side. And they looked like they had on like armor, like they looked like they had been in battle and there was blood sprinkled on their heads. Mm. And I was at six. I didn't know what that was. But I remember I got up and I went in the living room and my dad used to read the Bible a lot and he was reading the Bible when I went into the living room and I told him what I saw. And I said, there's angels. I didn't know how to explain it. I said, there's bloody angels around my bed. Mm. And he looked like he saw a ghost. Like he just was like, you know, like what? He like, I'm like, yeah, I was looking at each individual one. Like I remember looking at him. And then, I remember my dad looked like he didn't say much to me. He looked like he was getting instruction. You know, how you could tell somebody's listening to something, but they're not really, it's almost like they're not present with you.
Yeah.
So it was like he was getting instruction or something. And then I remember he got his oil, he anointed my head and he walked me back to my bed and he prayed for me. And I don't know what he said because he didn't pray out loud. And he walked me back to my bedroom and he marked my door the way that the Lord told the Israelites to mark their door. Remember when the firstborn or the first, I think it was the firstborn or the sons were being killed.
Yeah.
During one of the plagues, he had them mark the door. My dad marked the door just like that.
Mm.
And I went back to sleep. When I woke up in the middle of the night, I saw him again.
He was like, that didn't work.
But this time he sleeps. So I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to just stare at these angels till they go away. And they weren't looking at me. You know, they weren't looking at me in my face or anything. They were just hovering.
Mm.
And, you know, I forgot that that happened. But he reminded me when he spoke to me that morning. And he said, remember when this, he just started showing me things. And it's like he was just putting two and two together.
Wow.
And he was like, what happened after that, after the thing with the angels? And I was like, I was thought about it. I was like, that's when my parents got abusive.
Mm.
I'm like, after that, our household was flipped upside down. Like, really.
Wow.
And I remember there was, it was my bedroom, my brother's bedroom, and across from me was my parents' bedroom. And I remember there, I used to always feel a presence, like there was something right outside my door that couldn't come in. Mm-hmm. And my brother, you know, one of my brothers, his bed was right there, and he was screaming in the middle of the night. And my dad would get up and say, why are you, like, what happened? Why are you screaming? And he would say, something grabbed my foot. The other brother couldn't stop peeing on himself.
Mm.
So, and I just kept feeling like something was right outside my door and it couldn't come in.
So you felt the presence of it.
Yes. And I heard it. I would hear it. I would see the shadow go by, you know, like walk by my room and go into my brother's room. Yeah. So I just saw then, you know, he explained what he was doing. And then he explained to me that he was marking me for protection that day. He was marking me that day. And because he knew that this time was going to come. I didn't know that this time was going to come. But he knew he was going to raise me up to be the curse breaker. And everybody in the family became very cold. But I didn't. I was the loving one in the family. You know, everybody would come to me if they needed support.
Wow.
I was the loving one. I was the forgiving one. I was the supportive one. And that's literally not because I'm just this good person, but it's because he had enough grace and mercy to mark me.
Wow.
You know, so that whatever was in that household, it couldn't touch me, so that he could use me to save my family.
Right.
And, you know, that's just, when he told me that, I was just like, oh, this is the Lord. This is the Lord talking.
Because that was probably something you wasn't even thinking about in a moment.
No, right? I wasn't thinking, yeah. I forgot that happened.
Wow.
Completely forgot about it. And then from there on, every morning, he still says good morning to me every morning. And, you know, God will meet you wherever you are.
Amen.
He will. You know, one of the things that hurt me growing up was when my father, you know, he tried to be a good father. And then, you know, obviously we know that there's spirits mm-hmm. that, that you know, make people do things. And we know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We know that we wrestle with principalities. Everything is spiritual. So I know that it was, you know, an unclean spirit, really Leviathan, that was oppressing my father. So when he became, you know, very violent and very just mean, we've had to say good morning, and I would say good morning to him, and he wouldn't say it back.
Wow.
And that's how I would know if we were going to have a bad day. Yeah. So, like, I don't know if the viewers, if you guys ever watched Antoine Fisher. There was a scene where he said, if I smelled pancakes, I knew it was going to be a good day.
Yeah.
But if I smelled grits, I knew I had to watch my back the whole day. And he said, I mostly smelled grits.
Wow.
That's literally how it was.
Yeah.
If I said good morning and he said good morning back, I was like, it's going to be a good day.
It's crazy that you said mm-hmm. that, because that mm-hmm. was the same with me in narcissistic mm-hmm. relationships. Depending, yeah. like if the person slept in the den, mm-hmm. I knew what type of day I was going to have. But if the person slept in the bedroom, yep. I like that they do that certain thing. And then it's like, yep. oh, what kind of day is going to be? Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back a little bit, because mm-hmm. you're talking about when you heard God on your bed. I'm like, mm-hmm. God, you talk to everybody the first time on the bed or something?
I know.
I remember laying there. And I was crying. You know, when you're going through things, I'm just laying mm-hmm. there crying and crying and crying. Mm-hmm. And I just heard one word, and that one word just brought so much peace. And it was daughter. That was it. Aww. It was daughter. And I said, I stopped crying for a second. Like, hold on. What's that? And I had thought, I was like, now I know I'm not calling myself daughter. I just heard from God. Not like this overwhelming peace.
Yeah.
And at this time, it's almost like I was brought up in a church. I knew that, you know, like my mom talked about God. She taught us about prayer. She did, you know, her part in, you know, raising with the word of God. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like I needed to figure it out for myself still. Like, is this really real?
So, yeah.
Let me tell you. So one day, I had my daughter. She was about 2 years old at this time. Zuri was about to go to bed. Zuri, she was going down for a nap. That's what it was. I had just put her down for a nap. I was like, let me get me a quick nap. And I go to lay down. And I, you know how like you're in like midway sleep. You're still awake.
Yeah.
But kind of in that phase. And what I hear is footsteps. Like little kid footsteps. Like tap the house. So I'm like, I know she didn't get up. I get up and I go in there. And guess what? She's sound asleep.
Oh my goodness.
I go back and I lay down. I'm like, okay, girl, you tripping. You was half asleep. So I try to go back to sleep. Guess what? Midway to sleep again. I hear the little footsteps. And see, I knew I was hearing.
This reminded me of Samuel.
Yeah, I heard baby footsteps. But here's the thing. You can tell the difference. Baby footsteps, a big person. So I literally sound like she was running through the house. So I got up again. I looked in there. Sleep.
Wow.
I said, I'm tripping. Let me get back in my room. Lay down a third time. Same thing happened. And I was laying there. I said, now, if I'm hearing this, I know God's real. Because if I can hear this right here, I know I'm not tripping. And that's when I began to realize that God was real. And I don't know if I heard God's voice first before these footsteps or afterwards. But putting the two together, I knew that there was a God. I knew that there was a spiritual realm. And I knew that there was heaven and hell from those two experiences. And that was my first time hearing his voice, even just thinking about like my past life and things that I've done where I felt prompting in my spirit. But at that time, I'm thinking it's my conscience.
Right. You think it's you. Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking it's me.
Intuition.
intuition. I look back and it's like, no, that was really the Holy Spirit speaking to me.
That was the Holy Spirit.
I'm telling me you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And I'm feeling, you know, me at the time thinking, I just feel wrong for this. No, that's called conviction.
Yes. Conviction.
So I'm gonna ask you a question. How can you tell the difference between God's voice and Satan? Because he mimics.
So he does. So the first thing is the first thing that I tell people is you have to get the fear of making sure that you don't hear God wrong out of your head, because you are going to hear him wrong.
Yes.
1000%. If anybody ever says, I've never heard the Lord, I've never heard Satan and thought it was the Lord, that's not true. That's not true. That's the first thing. If you get that fear out of your head, you'll be able to develop trust of, even if I hear Satan, he's a good shepherd and he's going to redirect me. But one of the ways that I know, when you don't have fear, you're able to hear clearer. It's like when you listen to God with this fear of, let me make sure that I'm hearing him. Satan can talk to you real easily. Fear, we got to think about what fear brings. Okay. Fear brings impatience. Okay. You feel rushed, like you have to do something. Fear brings like fogginess. Okay. You can't concentrate. You can't focus. And fear also brings confusion. Now, one of the ways that I know that it's the enemy and not the Lord does speak to me in a specific voice. And it sounds very similar to...
So there's this movie called The Miracle Maker. And when I was a child, I used to watch that movie every single day. Like every day, because I was attracted to the Jesus character, like the voice. And when I came to him at 29, he started talking to me in a voice that's very similar to that voice. Like, you know, like the softness of someone's voice, like the tone. The tone is very similar, but it's not exactly the same. So what the enemy will do with me is he will sound exactly like the man from The Miracle Worker.
Wow.
And I'll be like, and it sounds close. I'm like, wait a minute, this sounds exactly like this sound a little too close. So one thing that you can do is you can ask God to speak to you in a way that you know it's him talking. Mm. Okay. Because God can do anything. Okay. Yeah. And we saw he did that with Samuel. Okay. So he knew that the way that he could get Samuel's attention was if he sounded like Eli.
Yep.
Okay. So I asked him to reparent me, and I asked him to sound, you know, basically speak to me in a way where I would know that it would be him. Another way that I know that it's the enemy and not God is it brings confusion. So God is not going to give you instruction where you have to figure stuff out. He already has it figured out. So if you get instruction and the instruction involves you having to use your own might, or you having to figure, basically put this whole plan together, whatever the case may be, that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord speaking. The other thing that the enemy will do is a lot of times when it comes to instructions, he will approach you with a question. So we have to look at how he approached Eve, okay? The way that he approached Eve was he said, did God really tell you you can't eat from every tree? God didn't approach with a question. He just said, don't eat from that tree. No confusion.
Yeah, he likes to come in with half truth, right, and a whole bunch of lies.
Yeah. So that's another way that I know it's not the Lord. The other thing is I test the fruit of what's talking to me. So I pay attention to, is this promoting self-control? Is this promoting patience? Is this promoting long-suffering? Is this promoting love, joy? Is it promoting me being selfless? Okay. Mm-hmm. If there's selfish ambition in it, it's not the Lord speaking. If there is confusion, it's not the Lord speaking. If it doesn't promote love, forgiveness, it's not the Lord speaking. A lot of times we don't test the fruit, and that's really why we are so double-minded. We don't test the fruit.
One of the things you had mentioned when you were preaching on one Sunday was that if the voice is loud, okay, because I remember thinking of God telling me certain things is going to happen, and I remember it being so loud and clear. So I'm like, this has to be God. It's loud. I can hear it. I remember you were like, let me ask you a question. I was like, okay. You were like, was the voice you hearing loud or was it soft and gentle? I was like, no, it was loud. And I knew that had to be God because it's like over and over again. And it's like, I know this got to be God. You were like, yeah.
Yeah.
That ain't God.
Yeah.
Can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, we see that in Ezekiel. And I think it's Ezekiel 18, but please correct me if I'm wrong. But it says there was a bunch of loud things that happened. There was like an earthquake. There was a fire, and it said like the Lord was not in those big things. Yeah. And then there was a gentle whisper, and Elijah knew that was the Lord. And the other thing to look at when it comes to that is we have to look at what the Bible says love is. If you read 1 Corinthians and you see what love is, it's literally exactly like that voice. So it says that love does not boast. Only boisterous people are loud. God doesn't have to be loud. The enemy has to be loud. Okay.
Because he's paying attention. It's like he's trying to.
Exactly.
Trying to get your attention. Like that's what the enemy does. He's so loud so that small, still voice you can't hear. And I believe it's in 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13, which is what you're talking about when Elijah was describing like the different things that he was hearing. So I'll make sure. And I'll make sure I put that in here in the description for you guys so y'all can take a look at that. It's something to look at.
Yeah, it's a very important scripture. You have to hear the Lord's voice, you have to be very intentional about listening to it. You know, you have to really it's not something that's going to be just loud and like, you know, I can hear it the way me and you are talking. You know, you have to be very intentional. Because the thing is the reason why it's so hard to hear God's voice, and this is how we know that it's also the enemy. The enemy can speak to our flesh. We can hear with our, like, with our flesh. Okay, we can obviously, we can hear with our ears, but the thing that makes it so hard to hear the Lord does not speak to our flesh. He speaks to our spirit. Okay.
Yeah.
So if that's why it sounds so quiet and so far away, if you can, if you hear the Lord, he sounds like he's far away.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's almost behind you. Like, it's like, you really got like, wait a minute.
And see, that's the thing. Satan can't mimic that. He can try. No. But once you learn the voice of God, and also for me, hearing God comes with a feeling. There's a feeling that I get when I hear from him. And I am led to read the scripture. So I'm going to read it for us. And I'm reading the NLT. And it's 1 Kings 19, verse 11 through 13. And it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then it says, then a great and powerful wind tore mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. It says, after the fire came gentle whispers. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then it says, then a voice said to him, it says, what are you doing here, Elijah? So as we see, there was a lot of things going on, noise, earthquake, wind. And he's like, yeah, that ain't me. And that ain't me. And that's not. And then he heard the small steel voice and he's like, that's me. So this was a scripture you actually read when you were ministering that day. And when I've heard, like, read it so many different times, but when you said that, I was like, wow, new revelation.
Yeah, because God's voice is not distracting, because he doesn't have to compete. He's God. So it's like the other things that was all distraction, the earthquake, but he knew that, you know, Elijah, because he had intimacy with the Lord. That's another thing. If you don't have intimacy with the Lord, you won't be able to. Elijah would not have known that's not my Lord in the earthquake. Okay, because somebody else would have been like, if the Lord said, you know, I'm about to pass, because that's what he said, somebody else would have been like, me, I would have been like, the earthquake, that gotta be them,
right?
You know, I know that's him. But notice that Elijah didn't think that it was him. You know, when he heard that gentle whisper, he didn't even say, Lord, is that you? He pulled his cloak over his head and he went out. Okay, so that's another thing. If you don't have intimacy with the Lord, if you are not you know, spending quality time with him, you can't learn his voice. You know, it's something that we do have to learn, because we have this barrier of this flesh in the way.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was
going to ask you a question. If someone has a question to ask, like, well, how do I even get this intimacy? What would you tell them? Because it's hard, especially when you got trauma in your life. You got things like just noise, life happening. Okay, that's the earthquake. How do you even get to a point of hearing him through your suffering, through your trial, through your pain? How do you hear him from that, through that?
So the best way I can explain that is you have to fully surrender. Mm. And surrendering it's not easy. It's like free falling. Right. And, you know, you have to just really surrender and become childlike. You know, we got to look at in Matthew, it says, in the book of Matthew, it says, Jesus said, truly, I tell you, unless you become like these children, you will not inherit the kingdom. And that's because children they're in a constant state of receiving. They receive love, correction, okay, guidance. They're dependent on their parent, okay, and they know that they need their parent or their guardian, whoever is taking care of them. They know that they don't know enough to be out in the real world by themselves. Okay, so if anybody ever, one of the books that really showed me how much I don't know was the book of Job. If you just need to quickly know that you don't know anything, read Job 38 to 40. And you'll, by the end of that, you'll be like, I don't know anything. I don't. We have to be, you know, we think because, like, for example, I just turned 32. So I think like, oh, you know, I've been here 32 years. You know, I know a lot. But we know what God allows us to know.
There's so much more to know.
There's so much. We know literally a little fraction of a grain of sand.
Right.
So us, it feels like the whole world.
Right. If you take all the sand and the dirt in the entire earth, we know like a fraction of one grain. We don't know anything. And when we realize that, when you realize that you don't know anything, it'll also make you just surrender your future.
Yeah.
How can I control my future? How can I control tomorrow? And I don't even know what's going to happen in the next minute.
Right.
You know?
That's good there.
Yeah, we can plan all day, you know, but just look now. We're doing this interview. We planned for this interview. Technical difficulties. I didn't know that was going to happen. You know, like we don't know what's going to happen. So, you know, all we can do is ask God to guide us and trust that he's a shepherd, a good shepherd. But when it comes to trusting that he's a shepherd, when you guys get some free time, I want you guys to watch sheep being herded. Something that he showed me, this was this was like a week ago, after I went through some inner healing. Actually, Pastor Zakia helped me with the inner healing. But afterwards, he showed me, I heard something wrong. And I was upset that I heard something wrong.
We need to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about it. So I thought that God told me something. I won't say exactly what it was, but
right.
I really thought God told me something. And I thought that thing for 3 days. And the thing that I thought that God told me that really was the enemy saying it, it brought fear. You know, I was fearful about this thing, but I should not have been fearful about it. It was something that, you know, is actually going to happen one day. So I shouldn't have been fearful about it. Mm-hmm. But I wound up talking to Pastor Zakia, and I needed to go through inner healing for that thing. And he wound up reinstating my worth, and just I had the best time with him. You know, he just really healed me on a deeper level, because I was actually still dealing with not feeling worthy. And that night, you know, I wake up, I'm thinking I'm going to go back into worship, and I'm just like, let me just have a nice worship time. And then he says to me, oh, you know, the thing that you heard, that wasn't me. Now this time I know it's him. And I'm like, wait a minute, but I heard that for 3 days. He was like, I know. And I'm like, and I was really upset. And he said, why are you upset? And I said, because, you know, I heard what was talking to me. And he said, the enemy. And I was like, you're just real, you're real casual about this. You're like, yeah, I know what the enemy talking to. And he said, why are you upset? And I said, because, you know, I don't want to be misled. And he said, were you misled? And I said, well, I almost was. And he said, I didn't ask you that. Did you act on the thing that you heard? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. And he said, so how are you? He said, do you still think it's me that said that? I said, no, because he told me it wasn't him. He said, okay, now you know it wasn't me. You didn't act on it. How are you misled? And he said, did it not bear fruit? And I said, it did. And he said, I allowed it because I knew that this was still in you. And I said, okay, this is going to just drive her into inner healing, more healing. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've had to get healed from, something that honestly, it would have popped up later on in life.
Yeah.
When he presented the actual opportunity.
Yeah.
And who knows how that would have went.
Could have ruined it. Yeah.
Ruined it. And he said, I want you to watch. Then he said to me, he said, you're upset because you were wrong. You thought it was me and it wasn't me. And I said, well, yeah, I guess I am upset that I was wrong. And he said, that's not very childlike of you. And he said, I want you to watch sheep. And he said, go to YouTube and type in sheep being herded. And so I just typed in sheep being herded. And there was these, the shepherd was using these dogs to go and get the sheep. And when the dogs would go and chase the sheep would run in the direction of the shepherd. And the shepherd didn't have to, you know, go chase all the sheep. They would just run to the shepherd. And when the dog, when the dog would get to the, and the sheep would get to the, wow, he just told me to, okay. So there's a time where if the sheep are in a far distance, the shepherd will actually stop the dog and he'll give a word and he'll stop the dog so that the sheep can rest. Mm. Even though the sheep are not to the shepherd yet. And then he'll tell the dogs, go ahead, go again. And then they'll keep chasing the sheep and then the sheep will get to the shepherd. But he said, imagine that the dogs are the enemy and demons. And I said, okay. And he said, were they not used to bring the sheep to the shepherd? And wow. I said, they were. And he said, that is how it is with you guys. You can't constantly be afraid of hearing something wrong.
Amen.
So if we hear something wrong, it's always going to bear fruit. I know the enemy was punching the air when he saw that I went through more inner healing.
Yeah. One of the things that that came up was hidden expectations. Sometimes when we're hearing these voices, sometimes it can be, I know for me, I'm going to speak for myself. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I would hear, I'm like, mm-hmm. it's because it's really what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's what I really desire. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right. I'm like, okay. So then when it turns out not to be, you find out that wasn't God, you're like, okay. Like, so I'm really not going to do this?
Yeah, he's like, no. The other thing, now. So what you said with that, that's a good point, because the other way that I know that it's the Lord speaking is I won't want to do it.
Yeah, oh my goodness, let's talk about that. You're not going to want to do it. I'm going through that right now. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, Lord, I know this guy, my flesh is telling me to do the opposite.
Yeah. You're like, wait a minute. This is not the plans I had. He's like, I know. Right. You know, but the thing is what we have to, in Romans, it says that the flesh is hostile towards God. Hmm. So when God tells you to do something, your spirit man is going to be on board. That's where the peace is. The peace will be, you'll have an inner peace that God will give your spirit man. It doesn't say he gives your flesh peace or comfort.
Right.
Because he's going to destroy your flesh.
Yeah.
So what he does, so your flesh will be like, I don't want to do that. Like when I had to move to Houston, I thought I was staying in Connecticut and I was going to move to Stamford, Connecticut. And I had found an apartment, girl, found everything. I was on board. I thought that was the Lord because I wanted to go there. And he said, you need to go to Houston. Who need to go to Houston?
I need confirmation. I need several.
Bro, he gave me so much confirmation. And there was no way I could have been like, are you sure?
Yeah.
He gave me confirmation for almost a year. Mm. And I just kept buying stuff for the apartment in Houston, even though I did not even fill out that application yet. He said, decorate for that apartment because that's the one you're going to.
Yeah, it's crazy because I literally just asked God, are you sure? And he said, how many dreams I need to give you? Like, well, dang. Okay, I heard you. I guess we're not going to go down the other route I would like to go.
Yeah. One of the main ways I know that it's the Lord telling me, as soon as he say to do it, if I get that pit in my stomach of like, no, I'm like, I know I have to do it. It's like when you ask me to, when y'all ask me to preach.
Yeah.
When y'all asked me to preach, I said, and I heard the Lord, he said, you need to do it. No. He said, yes.
And you did great.
Thank you.
Actually, I'm going to put that link right here in the bottom description so y'all can see it, because she actually went through a lot of scripture on how to hear from the Holy Spirit. So I'll make sure I put that link in the description.
Yeah. The other thing I feel like to say too is what I'm hearing going around a lot is there's a lot of people saying that God does not speak to us anymore. You know, that there's a scripture that says that he used to speak through the prophets and, you know, he won't speak through prophets anymore. He now speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people think that he does not speak at all. But we see in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit speaks. Yeah. You know, there were times where the Holy Spirit gave them instructions and it says the Spirit said. It doesn't say that there was some writing on the wall or they just had a deep inner knowing. It says that the Holy Spirit speaks. And if we look in the book of John, it says that the Holy Spirit is an advocate and the Holy Spirit is our guide. How is anybody going to guide you when you are looking, when you're doing your navigation? What does the navigation do? It tells you where to go.
Yeah.
And that's technology. You think we serve a God that can't do that? Right. So the first thing, if you do not believe that the Lord speaks, you won't hear him.
Yeah.
He won't speak to you. Yeah. So you have to, it is impossible to please God without faith.
Yep.
So you have to believe that he is, you have to say, you know, and you can just start small. You know, you can say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I know you can hear me. Start by talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, and say, what I don't know how. Go ahead.
I'll say one of the things I wanted you to talk and touch on was ways he speak, okay. Because that's also something that you were teaching on is the different type of ways he speak.
Yeah. So
because some people would be like, well, I don't hear a voice in my head, or I don't have dreams.
You might not. So one of my my best friend, when me and her first became friends, she used to be in her closet all the time, and she would be like, she said she would be like, okay, Lord, you know, like, you're not saying anything, but I'll come back tomorrow. Like, I'll try. And she was crying when we first talked on the phone and stuff. She was like, I don't know why he doesn't talk to me. And I said to the Lord, because I can hear him audibly. I said, you know, like, I don't mean to, I'm not coming at you because, you know, I said, but that's me. I said, why don't you talk to this girl? She sounds pitiful. And I remember he said, I talked to her. And he said it just like that. He said, I talked to her. He said, she can't hear me. Mm. And I said, well, why can't she hear you? And he said, it's the spirit of unbelief. And I said, I asked her, I said, when you go in your closet, do you truly believe he is going to talk to you the same way that me, you and I are speaking on the phone, and mm-hmm. you expect me to say something back when you say, Bria, you expect me to go, yeah. Do you believe he's going to say something, or do you sit, do you like kind of just let me see if he'll say something?
Right. Because sometimes you're not sitting long enough either.
There you go. That's the other thing. Sometimes we're not sitting long enough. We're impatient. And we want God to speak the way that we want him to speak. It turns out he doesn't speak to her in an audible voice. He actually speaks to her through her body. Mm. So the whole time, literally this entire time, I remember like that now, if she, if I need prayer, something will stir in her. Like if she feels this, like, she can only describe it. She said it's like a shaking inside of her. She's like hot, and she'll know like it's time to pray. Like I need to go into the spirit. And I don't get that. That doesn't happen to me. I'll hear going to spirit, you know? So there's different ways that God can speak to you. God designed you, so he's going to speak to you the way that you learn best. So if you're a hands-on learner, he will speak to you through your body, through those Holy Spirit nudges, okay? Because he knows this is the way that they're going to learn. If you need to see something to learn it, he'll speak to you through visions and dreams, okay? So you'll see a lot of ways that he'll talk to you. Myself, I'm an auditory learner. If I'm going to learn something, I have to hear somebody tell me how to do it, and then I can do it. So that's why he speaks to me through an auditory voice that I hear it in my head. I don't hear it like, you know, outside. Right. I can hear someone speaking to me.
You're going to be on a whole other level. You start hearing it that way.
You start talking to me like that.
Like, mommy, like, hold on, I'm tripping.
I'm waiting for that. But he is starting to speak to me in visions again.
Amen.
He is starting to speak to me through very vivid visions again. But because that's the second best way that I learned. But the Lord knows if I speak to Bria through a Holy Spirit nudge, he's not going to listen. A lot of us want to hear an auditory voice. But if somebody tells you to do something, you don't listen anyway.
Right. So we'll talk anyway.
Right. If you don't listen to somebody who you can see, why would you listen to somebody who you can't see? Mm-hmm. So in That's his mercy, and here's the thing about God, he has to hold you accountable for what you know.
Yeah.
Whether you're ignorant or not. That's why the Bible says my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So if he tells you something and you don't act on it or you don't do it, you're now in disobedience. Mm. So the best thing for him to do is in his, so what he does in his mercy is he says, okay, I'm going to speak to them in a way that they will actually listen to me. Because, right, if God gives me a Holy Spirit nudge and I don't listen to it, I'm in disobedience now. And I can't say, well, you didn't tell me. He's like, yes, I did.
And listen, y'all don't want that whooping. I'm telling you, that's a whole nother topic we're going to have to hit one day, but you do not want that whooping.
You don't want to also control. Don't be controlling. Don't control the way that God decides to speak to you. That's not, God is not controlling the way that you speak to him. You know, sometimes, sometimes I write to him. He doesn't tell me, no, I want you to say it out loud. No, he accepts it. He says, okay, you want to write? Okay, let's write.
That ain't God if you hear that.
Right. If you are speaking in tongues and the Lord's like, no, say it in English. Or if you're speaking in English and he's like, no, say it in tongues. That's the devil. Okay,
to the tone. Satan is very sarcastic. I don't know if you noticed that when like you hear something go, oh, I know God don't speak to me like that. That was harsh. Or that was sarcastic, or that came off rude.
He's very forceful.
Yes.
Like that thing that I told you that I heard for 3 days, whenever I would go, it can't be, you know, like it can't be that. And he would say, why don't you believe? Like you still, like, I'm like, whoa. Like, you know, I'm thinking it's the Lord. I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know what's wrong with me. That's why I called you, like, girl, I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, I remember that.
Notice even the state I came to you in. I came to you in distress.
Yeah. That's not God. He's not going to put you in that state.
No. Any other time I came to you about something the Lord said to me, I was not in distress. I might have known I was wrong. But
one thing. Go ahead. I'll wait. Go ahead.
No, I'm done with that part.
I was about to say, now, I'm going to talk about this coffee incident. Because I had came to Bria multiple times, like, I don't want to go to hell. And so I had this thing where there was a point where I was really addicted to coffee. Now, I want to be honest. God do not want us addicted to anything. And if there's an addiction taking place, he do want you to separate from it, especially if it's like drugs. He wants you to cut that out. But like coffee and chips and stuff like that, like he wants you to get it under control. So I was hearing and had this like certain feeling like, man, if I drink coffee, then you know that the guys gonna be mad at me, because it was to a point where I was making like 4 or 5 cups a day, and there was times where I would just make it and it would just sit there. So I was doing it out of habit, so there was an issue. So I had stopped drinking for almost a whole year, and I was wanting coffee, but I was feeling like I can't drink it. Like if I open up this coffee again, like it's going to be an issue. God don't, I'm using scripture too. Like God don't want me addicted. I'm just using a whole bunch of, you know, scriptures to justify why I'm scared to drink this coffee. And
you were scared.
I started drinking it. So now I'm like, okay, I'm going to go have one every 3 days. I'm like literally setting limits. Yeah. And I started getting this, it's like a certain feeling that comes over me when I think it's God and it's not. So I have been through it enough. And here's the thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. God will allow you to go through something multiple times on this, like the same issue with a different topic, so that you can learn, like when this feeling takes place, this is not God. And so I got to a point where I'm talking to Bria, like, girl, you know, I think, you know, this coffee, like, I really want coffee. You think God gonna be mad at me if I get a cup of coffee? And she's like,
I don't want to get to the gates. I don't want to get to heaven. I go to hell because of coffee. I said,
girl. You was like, where? You was like, that's religious. Like, what are you getting this from? And I'm like, I'm once addicted. So I'm scared that, you know, I'm going to get in trouble. And she's like, drink that coffee.
Yeah. Because we went to a coffee shop and you were like, you just kept saying, I can't get coffee. Every time we went somewhere with coffee, you would say, I can't get coffee. And every time you would say that, the voice he talks to me in, I would hear him say, I didn't tell her she can't drink coffee ever again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to say it because, see, you know, that's something I've struggled with is God always, because he talks to me audibly, if somebody says something that he didn't say, he will just voluntarily say, I didn't say that. And now I'm sitting here like,
God didn't say that.
Tell him that. Yeah. I can't tell him you didn't say that, you know? So he was like, I didn't tell her she can't drink coffee ever again. Like, and one day he just was like, you need to tell her. I didn't tell her that. Yeah. And I was just like, he didn't say that you can't have coffee ever again.
I'm not gonna lie, I struggled. Like, I was cheating every time I would drink the coffee. I felt like that's what it feels like. Like, I'm cheating on God or something. And God was showing me, he was like, every time you have this feeling, it's not for me.
It's not me.
There was something else that I've done where, what was it? Oh, we got to talk about it. So I let go of a 19,000 following page. Okay. Because I heard, this is what I heard. So I had someone in my facility of my home, and because of what they were dealing with, their spirits was in the atmosphere to where I started hearing things like, you're becoming idolized with your page. So I had an old TikTok page. It had almost getting ready to be hit 20,000 people, 20,000 follows. And we're not on numbers, but I'm trying to give this example.
Yeah.
Almost 20,000 follows. And I hear you need to get rid of your page. I'm pivoting you. And this page had became idle. This is what I heard. And I'm like, God, and see, here's what the enemy knows. He knows I have a heart for God. He knows that if God tell me to do something, I'm going to do it regardless of what I feel.
Yep.
And so I'm like wrestling with this thing. I'm like, am I really idolizing? Like, I'm doing lives almost every day, morning fuel. I'm like, dang, well, maybe God is pivoting me. Because here's the thing. I read a book and God was pivoting me. It just wasn't telling me to take down my page. Right. So I wrestled back and forth. Eventually, I took it off. Bria, she hears from God that said the same thing. That
delete that page.
Yeah.
And we had just met.
Yeah, we had just met.
And I was fresh still. Like, I was freshly, like, I would hear things, but I didn't want to tell people because I didn't want them to be like, you know, sometimes you tell somebody something, they're like, that's the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, I dealt with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're talking about that.
Yeah,
so long story short, y'all, I lost the page and I had to start over. Because when I went back and I finally figured out, like, God didn't tell me this, because some things came out. I was like, God didn't tell me this. That ain't what he said. I went back to retrieve the page and I couldn't get it back. And so I lost that page. I had to start over. And from that point on, I started dealing with the enemy trying to say, you can't use hashtags. Using hashtags is trying to make yourself. He was really trying to get within my mind. And God, but here's the thing. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for my good, because now I know that when I feel this or I feel rushed to do something, it's not him.
You
and
know,
so yeah, it's not him. Mm-hmm. Just like with this job thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I really sat with God last night and thinking, it was almost like was rushing, like, you need to do this now. You need to do this now. And I'm like, yeah, that's not God.
He rushes you so that you don't have a chance to catch on, like, that this is not the Lord.
And I'm don't sometimes. I gotta slow down. I do admit I move too fast.
That's a lot of us do. Like, that's our flesh. Our flesh is like, so, you know, it's something that we do that the Lord told me, like, I have to stop doing. We try to we try to connect our flesh with our spirit instead of letting our spirit dominate the flesh. Yes. Like, we try to put them on the same level, you know, like basically, that's why we're just like, okay, I need to move. I need to do it. I need to move. And it's like, no, you just need to sit with the Lord. you need to sit with him, sit for a second and, you know, ask him, okay, is this really what you want me to do? And can you give me confirmation if this is what you want me to do? You know,
and he's not going to punish you just because you're trying to get confirmation. Like,
no,
he wants you to make sure it's him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he's giving me confirmation. One thing about it.
I think the thing for me
everywhere now.
Right. Everywhere. I think the thing for me is I have the heart to want to please him, that so when he speaks, I want to move on it. But Satan knows that. And so Satan was trying to say something to make me move on it. And then I'm like, nope, I gotta do this now because this is what God is telling me to do. And God's like, yeah, you
got revelation on that.
Yeah, so I'm gonna let you speak on that revelation. So what I want you to do for those who's listening, anytime you hear God nudging or trying to tell you something or you feel like it's God, just sit with him, sit in his presence. Even if you have to fast for a couple of days, sit in his presence. And I'm telling you, you will get the correct answer of what you need to do. Mm. What's the revelation, sis?
So yeah, because I have the same thing where I really want to please the Lord. But a lot of times for those of us that really want to please the Lord, we have to check why we want to please the Lord. Sometimes we want to please the Lord because we think that, you know, if I don't please him or something, it's going to affect how, you know, his love, or it's going to affect, he may leave, or it's like, sometimes our pleasing becomes like performance. But if we please from a place of, you're going to love me even if I mess up, it takes all of that. You know, the enemy can't really do that. Well, you have to do it now, because it's like, okay, even if I don't act on this right now, the Lord still loves me.
Yes.
Even if he sees that I'm struggling with, okay, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, and I just want to sit with him on this. He's slow to anger with his children, quick to compassion. So yes, he's going to be like, okay, you just want to make sure it's the right thing. Okay, well, I'll give you confirmation. Only the enemy makes you feel like, hurry up and do it, or I won't love you anymore. Hurry up and do it, or I'm not going to bless you ever again. Hurry up and do it, or your life is going to be ruined, and you're going to be under my judgment.
Rebuke those thoughts. We have to ask God to, if you have given a legal right to it, you gotta break that legal right. Because sometimes, and this is why it's important to be careful what church you're going to, because if your pastor's operating up under certain spirits, and you're wondering why you're hearing certain things when you go home, and you're hearing certain, you know, voices, and it come out to not to be God, well, who are you listening to? Because you gave it legal right. It's a legal right for them to speak to, because you're sitting up under someone that has these spirits. So you have to be extremely careful about who you listening to. And that's just not in the path, like in the pulpit. It's also concerning YouTube, podcasts. Yeah. You got to say, Holy Spirit, is this person coming from the right spirit? Because I've literally have been up under certain people before in the past, and I start hearing certain things, and I'm thinking it's God, and it's like, that ain't God.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, he just brought this back to my remembrance. God didn't have me, I wasn't a part of even a church, and I wasn't listening to anybody on YouTube. He didn't have me start doing stuff like that until I got familiar with his voice. I kind of knew like, okay, this is how he talks. Like, me and him had intimacy first, you know, like I was reading my word, and he would read the word with me line by line, because I would tell him like, I don't understand this.
Right.
And he would say, ask me for understanding and ask me to read with you, and I'll read with you. And I was just like a kid. I was like, okay, you know, I call him dad. I literally call him dad. So I'm like, okay, dad, like, can you read with me? He's like, yeah. So we're reading. And then he started to reveal to me, that church that's right next to your house, go to that church. This person on YouTube, you can listen to them. This pastor, you can listen to them. But a lot of times what we do is we search out the voice of man instead of searching out the voice of God.
Because it sounds good. It looks good. It feels good.
And that will open you up to a spirit of divination if you do that. Yes. And the spirit of divination sounds a lot like the Holy Spirit.
Can you explain to people what divination is, just in case they don't know?
So divination is basically, number one, it's witchcraft, okay? And a lot of false prophets, they are operating with a spirit of divination. And one of the ways that you know that somebody's operating under a spirit of divination is if they give you, during prophecy, they give useless facts, okay? So we know that prophecy is the foretelling of events, you know, things to come. And it's things that the Lord tells us. But if somebody is saying, like, for example, in this crowd, there's somebody with a birthday, March 17th, and my birthday is March 17th. Oh, prophesy. That's not, what is Mark, my birthday? First of all, are there any birthdays in the Bible that we know of? Why would the Lord start talking about my birthday? And what is the enemy also, one of the things the spirit of divination likes to use is birthdays. Let's look at astrology. So divination will tell you the quote unquote future, because it's not always accurate. Mm-hmm. Okay. It'll tell you, it'll make an accurate prediction based off of things that are going on right now. So somebody saying, my birthday is March 17th. That's not a prophecy, because the United States government knows my birthday is March 17th. that's carried by a familiar spirit. So her birthday is March 17th. You know, oh, this person, her mother's name starts with an L. Oh, that's prophesy. You got to be a man of God.
They're like, prophesy. Prophesy. Like, hold
on. And the other thing about spirit of divination is, because a lot of deliverance ministers also operate in this spirit as well. The spirit of divination makes a profit. So if you are paying for deliverance, it did not work. Okay. Because
I can testify to that. Because okay. I paid. I ain't going to put his name out there. Holy Spirit okay. said, don't do that. But because I was desperate. And mm-hmm. I wanted freedom. And mm-hmm. I was seeing his videos. And I'm like, man, I need that. I need to get free. And so I paid over $300 for a 45-minute session. And I was hearing noises talking about, I'm going to kill her. And and you know, saying the minister person's name. Like, I'm going to kill her, minister name. I'm going to kill her, minister name. I mean, I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And they kept going on. I was being tormented mentally. Mm. And I would just like, I would never do that again. I had to go through some deliverance and healing. But God's word says that as freely as we receive, we also give it.
There you Jesus
put his hand out to him, like, give me some money so you can get delivered.
Okay. He didn't do that.
Yeah, no. So we shouldn't be doing that. I do believe that sowing. I believe that when you read, the Holy Spirit will lead you to like sow into the man or woman of God. I believe in that.
He will do that.
Yeah.
But the price tag. Yeah. Because, you know, like you said, you will, even, you know, when people go through deliverance, you know, it's really a false, it's not really deliverance, but they think because they can hear the spirit or because the spirit, because they're manifesting, that that means that it's working. That just means that the spirit is. And, you know, it's really sad that a lot of the body is being misled with that, but it is a spirit of divination. We look at in Acts 16, when there was the slave girl that had the spirit of divination, she made her masters a prophet, okay? And the thing is the spirit of divination will say accurate information, okay? But there's a difference between truth, there's a difference between something that is true and the spirit of truth, okay? So accurate information, she was saying, you know, these two men are teaching you, you know, they serve the Most High God. They're teaching you the way to heaven. That's true. That was true.
Yeah.
But Paul was able to discern. You're not, you know, why Paul was able to discern? Because he had intimacy with the Lord and he had the Holy Spirit in him. So he was able to discern, you're not operating under the same spirit I'm operating under.
Yeah.
So amen. Be really careful with that spirit, because that spirit of divination, it's running rampant in the church. If you have to pay for anything that we are supposed to give freely, it's the spirit of divination. It's not the Lord. If you're paying for a deliverance service, if you're paying for a prophecy, it's not from the Lord.
Yeah, you literally just sat down with a witch. It's what you just
literally
did.
You sat down with a witch. Literally.
Yeah. Wow. This was good. This was so good, Bria. This was good. So thank you so much, because a lot of people, they really needed to hear this. You explained a lot. And so if you feel like you missed something, you need to go back and you need to listen to the replay, take some notes. And so how can people reach you? Also, he just spoke to me again on this. He told me this while we're doing this. This is a book that you're going to be writing about how to hear from the Spirit. You probably already know that.
He
spoke that he said release book. I believe that this book is going to bless so many people. I want you to take it back and pray about it and ask the Lord about it. But I heard it about three times while I've been sitting here. Like, she's got so much information on this, so many different stories and background that you can put in that book. And it's time to read that book. So the enemy is going to try to fight you on it, but it's going to come with some warfare, but you're going to do it.
Even just that intimacy journal, but I think it is, I think I have to do what you're saying, because I did hear that the other day.
I hear from God. This is an issue for a lot of people. And this will bless a lot of people. It's going to bless them. So
here come the enemy that sees that I know support, because I don't want to do it. They're like, you can't write no book, girl.
Yes, you can, in Jesus' name. Listen, he just said write it. He had publishers and editors. So everyone is stationed for where they need to be. But how can people reach out to you if, you know, they wanted to be able to, you know, learn a little bit more from you, some mentorship, some inner healing, deliverance?
So you guys can go to my website. It's www.missbriaisaac.com, and it's www.msbriaisaac.com. And my name is Miss Bria Isaac on all social media platforms. You know, you guys can email me if anybody needs inner healing or deliverance. It's on my site. If you guys need one-on-one mentorship, that is also on my site. And there's, you know, all the information that you guys would need, it's there.
Right. Amen. Amen. And so with that being said, I'm also going to put all of her information right here in the description so that you can be able to, you know, do the clicks. You don't have to go through putting everything in. It's so much easier to navigate when it's in the description. And with that being said, you all, again, we were talking about how to hear from the Holy Spirit. We gave our, you know, our personal testimonies. And listen, what part was the best part for you in this video? What was it that you learned? And also make sure you share this with someone that God lays within your spirit. All right. You all be blessed, and we will be on at another point, because I know you're going to come back on again. We got another topic. We got like two or three topics to talk about. Y'all going to see
you're an excellent interviewer. So I'll let you come back.
So everyone be blessed and be led by the Holy Spirit.